Hey folks, this week's episode of The Read is being brought to you by LeVar Burton Reads. Now you know that we stand for him over here at The Read.
Facts.
Because he helped us to read, read to us, and he's just amazing and black and excellent. And he came on our show and gave us gifts of knowledge and wisdom and validation and left your daddy a voicemail. So he can recreate all of this magic in the realm of words where you can go and listen to his grown-up podcast, LeVar Burton Reads.
Yep. In each episode, LeVar Burton handpicks a different short story and reads it to you. Past episodes feature stories from Octavia Butler, Haruki Murakami, and so many more. The show is just wrapping up season 3, so it's the perfect time to go binge and catch up on all the past stories. You can subscribe to LeVar Burton Reads wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, now this is an easy one.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Wait, which quote should I do first? Because I picked 3. I feel like the first one here is the easiest.
You should go in order of hardest to easiest.
People! People! We need your money!
Okay. What's the next one?
This tastes like somebody poured it through an old boot.
Okay, so what is the easiest quote from this movie?
Actually, I've always had a rather extensive vocabulary, not to mention a phenomenal grasp of grammar and a superlative command of syntax. I simply chose not to employ them.
Now I know it.
Of course you do.
Fucking little rascal.
Yay! See, I knew if I would have started with that one because it was the plot twist.
Right.
When you found out that, could talk.
And now I can hear the people.
Listen,
we need your money.
I still randomly say that.
Like, what a great movie that was.
Oh my gosh, I love
I did too.
That fucking movie.
It was
movie.
Really good.
So good to this day, that shit is still funny.
Amen.
And it's a Netflix original waiting to happen.
Hallelujah.
Well, guys, welcome back. This is another episode of The Read. I am Natasha Rothwell.
And I am Anita Hill.
Welcome back.
Yes, we're here.
Thank you for returning to our nigger shenanigans for another week. Let's not waste any more of your time. Black excellence this week. I would like to give to a young black princess by the name of Nishe Graham Henrys. If you haven't heard, you're about to. She's okay. An 8-year-old.
Okay.
Who has been busy giving free haircuts to kids in her neighborhood as a service to her community.
She's 8?
She's 8. 8 human years of age. So here's the story. Nishe tagged along with her brother, her older brother, to a place called Junior Barber Academy in North Philly, owned by one Michael Boone. So her older brother, I guess after going to the school, was like, this ain't for me. I'm not interested. I don't want to do this. But his little sister said, so, Mama, I actually thought it was lit.
Wow.
I would like to give this a try. And her mom says that she was not afraid or insecure about being the youngest and also the only girl in the academy. And now she's out there perfecting her craft and giving away free haircuts because she's a doll.
What? Wow.
And she has the cutest purple glasses. So
that is just so precious.
I saw this on one of my favorite websites, Because of Them We Can, which I mention often. And not only is it cool that, you know, this young girl found like a non-traditional hobby for kids that age.
Right.
But is great at it and is like, hey, I'm also going to make sure that y'all don't go to school looking,
giving out free haircuts to her classmates. Like, you, Bobby, I don't want the kids to pick on you this year. I'm going to help you out. Free haircuts in my house. from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Hey, Devon, that lineup is tight, bro. And the show would be like, thank you. I did that. I taped that up.
Oh, wow. I love that.
And I also love these stories where, you know, kids are doing great things. I love when I get to watch their parents, especially black moms, beam.
Yes.
Because you know that she's sitting up there.
So proud.
With CBS Philadelphia. You know like, she is. Yes, ma'am, indeed.
This that is my baby.
you know, she's just great.
Yes.
And
I love that.
Doing her schoolwork. Just so. Mm-hmm.
That's my baby cutting hair.
Shout out to you, young lady.
What a lovely story.
For doing cool things.
Beautiful.
Right. Next, we have our pop culture segment, which is titled Hot Tops, the bottom, the verse, and the wardrobe. And this week.
Oh, my God. The bottom, the verse, and that closet.
Yeah.
All the That's things that happen in that closet.
That's what I should have said.
I used to love them books.
Oh my gosh, so good.
God, I love them books so much.
Didn't care for the movies, but I did love the books.
Didn't
See,
even
that's
know
Harry
it
Potter.
Was a movie.
That was my Harry Potter.
There you go. I didn't even know there was a movie.
More than one.
Oh no, I don't need to look at that.
They go through.
Okay, no.
Just wretched.
No, I don't need to watch that.
Heavily disliked
then,
them.
Yeah, okay, just well, me. That is how I feel about Harry Potter. Those are awful movies.
Speaking of which, the first story up is one that many of y'all probably won't give a fuck about, but I certainly do. This week, a Reddit user leaked what is possibly going to be a new Harry Potter third-person RPG video game. Now, let me explain something to you. You've been playing video games for your whole life and you happen to be in my age range. Though you would know, Harry Potter has had some games, most of them not fantastic. Okay.
Right.
But this game that somebody named Vape the Bro, Vape This Bro, because it's Reddit.
Vape This Bro. Sounds legit.
He might have to vape this lawsuit because right. I don't really know. So he says he was invited to something in a mall, some survey or whatever. And cameras were not allowed, but somehow he was still able to sneak his in and leaked this whole entire trailer, which looks phenomenal. Now, I'm not even going to play the video, but I just want you to look pictures. This is you creating your own character in your image.
Oh, your own Harry.
Your own
nice.
Nigga. You don't have to be Harry. This is based before that.
It's your own student.
Your own student. Race, gender, eye color, all things. You can make a nigga that look like you. You can make one that looks like Beyonce like I'm going to do. So.
You always have a Beyonce.
Because if you can play as Beyonce, why wouldn't you? Like, that's just dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it says, set in the 19th century, Wizarding World. This is a third-person open-world action RPG game that centers around your character with unique abilities who has earned a late acceptance to Hogwarts.
Mm.
You are a newly arrived fifth-year student to Hogwarts that demonstrates a latent gift for magic with a unique ability to track and identify remnants of a potent ancient power.
Wow.
So you can pick the type of wizard you want to be, whether you want to be good or evil, what house you want to
nice.
Be in. And they showed footage of this several characters running around in the forest, nigga, and in the school, and
wow,
and Avada Kedavra niggas.
Oh, wait.
And I need it.
Okay.
And well. So Harry Potter fans that also enjoy games have been lighting the internet ablaze for more information this week, because this looks like something that could really fulfill a lot of our deepest desires.
Do we know which platform it's going to be on yet?
I would assume that this is going to be a PS4, Xbox One, and PC situation by the looks of it.
Okay.
So if you have one of those, possibly. I don't see this being on Nintendo Switch just because of how beautiful it looks.
Oh, wow.
But I am, when it comes out, going to make you play it.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you make me, then that'll be fun.
Crystal, imagine if you can make Crystal in a game.
That might be fun. Maybe because I have the app Harry Potter game and it's not that fun. I'm just like under enthused about this.
So we can right all of those wrongs. You know what? Let me see if somebody still has clips of the video. Because you need to actually, you have one. Unless you burned it.
No, I do have a PlayStation. I'm trying to remember, that's the one with the CDs for games.
Wow.
It is, right?
Wow.
It is. It's like little DVDs.
Wow.
CDs, DVD, whatever. It's games on CDs.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Okay. I mean, I will play it with you, friend. I will.
I just need for you to understand that this is an exciting time to be alive.
Okay. And I am also excited. So you can't tell. You can't feel the enthusiasm in my voice. I'm into it.
So, Lindsay Lohan, we don't talk about her because why?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But something interesting happened recently involving Lindsay Lohan, and I was thinking about making it my read, but then I was like, you know what? Let's just talk about it here.
Okay.
So, Lindsay Lohan is apparently abroad. She's got new businesses in Greece, apparently, including a nightclub she's opened, which sounds like a perfect idea for Lindsay Lohan, you know.
Not like somewhere I would party.
Seems completely healthy and, you know, no trouble could come for that.
A mess.
So, she's out overseas doing her thing. Apparently, she's also shooting a reality show. Also, seems like a great idea for Lindsay Lohan. So, at some point recently, she got on Instagram Live.
Oh, no.
Where she was seen approaching a seemingly homeless Syrian refugee family.
What?
Right. They're on the street.
Oh, no.
Minding their own business.
Oh, God. No.
Leaving everybody alone. Here comes Lindsay Lohan, who is that? First, it seemed like she was offering them like a place to stay, like discussing like getting a hotel room for them or having them like some place for them to sleep or whatever.
Okay.
And it seemed like they were more so just kind of like what? Like waiting for her to leave, basically.
Okay, relatable.
So eventually, okay. Eventually, they decide it's probably in everyone's best interest for them to get up and gather their things and keep it moving.
Okay.
So that is what they begin to do. She decides to then follow them, again, filming this on Instagram Live for anybody who clicks to see.
God.
So this is not a secret. The world is looking at this.
Right.
Because of Lindsay Lohan. She is showing us.
Somebody else does not have her own day live.
So she's following them and speaking in this bizarre accent. I don't know.
Accent?
Like, she's speaking in this accent and she's talking about Pakistan and Syria. And I think that she's like trying to speak Arabic. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It was just weird.
Okay.
Okay. And very safe to say that Lindstrom was not in her right mind at the time. I don't know what may have been in her streams, but I know what she was streaming. So,
a Syrian refugee family.
At some point, then it turns from, hey, I want to get you guys a hotel room or whatever, to then you're trafficking these kids.
Oh my God.
Like these people's kids.
Right.
You know?
That's literally what she said about them children.
So then she started like hollering at them. She says, don't fuck with Pakistan at some point. And like, she's going to get these kids and they want to go with her. And these people are trafficking these children and it's not right. All of this madness, these people are just trying to go on about their damn life. So at some point, she like seems to like grab one of the kids or grab at one of the kids.
Okay.
And mama, who obviously was not playing with this white bitch on that day, socked her to her shit. She hit the ground and in typical white woman fashion.
Oh, man.
Bursts into tears.
I am so mad that I just found the screen. Of course, it's deleted, but the screen grab is online. And she really filmed herself getting embarrassed like this. She really followed these people talking about they were trafficking children. All right, what is Lindsay Lohan on?
So I'm going to be the cynic just for a second because,
for the first time?
In my life.
Okay.
people have been able to like lean into mental health as an excuse for fuckery for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. White people have been very open and vocal about, you know, depression and all of these things for so long. And in fact, I think that's a good part of the reason why a lot of niggas don't take it seriously, because they just think of it as something that white people say when they just, you know, killed a whole bunch of innocent black people, mm-hmm, or assaulted someone else, a woman more than likely.
Angry. Just anything.
Genocide. Anything. Just whatever.
Yep.
It would not be shocking to me that Lindsay Lohan is dealing with some sort of a disorder, some sort of an issue going on up there.
For a long time.
And exactly, my friend. I've already read that her family, who's in the States, are very, very eager for her to come home.
Right.
They're saying she can't just leave because she's got all of these businesses and bars in Greece and things like that. So I can empathize with Lindsay Lohan and any other person who is struggling with inner demons or things that are going on in their head, mm-hmm, that are just off.
Yes.
What I cannot empathize with is you and all of your caucasity going around in the streets and berating, mm-mm, people of color, accusing them of things because you can't get your shit. Come and get Catty. Come and get her. Just come and get Catty. Because I can't.
I'm gonna call you Catty.
I don't know. Okay, if she can't come home, somebody needs to book a flight
out there
and go and get her.
Get her.
Go and receive her.
Because she's, bitch, losing it.
You cannot just be running around here and snatching people's goddamn motherfucking babies away from them off of the street.
Right.
You lucky you didn't get cut, bitch. Like, okay, are you insane?
You lucky all you got was smacked in the face for that. Girl, you can't be grabbing at people's kids. We have talked about it before, sis. You just decided those kids were being trafficked by the, like, how do you know those people? What are you doing?
Miss.
No, girl. Absolutely not, ma'am.
Look.
Oh, uh-uh.
Get your shit the fuck in order. Because don't nobody feel sorry for
wow,
you.
Wow. She's really fortunate. Oh, she got slapped. She really is. Damn.
Are you like, girl, what is the major malfunction? You was just out. You can't even say or get or convince anybody that you don't need assistance at this point.
Right.
Because that was so bizarre. Mm. That was so, like,
Tina
dangerous.
Tina, I need to check in on her. Like, what's going on with your girl? Something
it makes
wrong.
No motherfucking sense. Mm-mm. We just saw that clip of you. You're saying that, you know, oh, opening a club is not, you know, a problem for her because it just means she's not going to the club, and she hates the word party because it makes people feel like, you know, she's still right, you know, and judging her for her past, and she's not that person anymore.
Sis,
we just saw you at that club or whatever in Greece dancing like a turned over roach.
Oh,
so
see, you just saw that. And I definitely did not.
You did not see?
I don't pay no attention to Lindsay Lohan.
It went viral. No, you just didn't see the clip of her dancing?
Uh-uh. Was she dancing like Elaine off of Seinfeld?
She was dancing like somebody just sprayed a bug and it went, right?
Oh, no.
That's how
Googling
she looked.
Lindsay Lohan dance.
Greece.
Oh, God damn. That must be it. This is her in this gray thing?
In this fucking...
What is that?
Lisa Rinna ass pantsuit.
Damn, man.
She's 32, by the way.
Is that all? Oh, no.
That's the end of it.
I'm so mad. This is... Wait, she doesn't look well.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Lindsay doesn't look like she's healthy.
You being a little fucked up and dancing off be at the club is one thing. Yeah. You like trying to snatch people's kids up off of them, off of the street. Somebody needs to come and collect you.
Yeah.
All of the clubs and the reality show and the Instagram, all of that shit is irrelevant. Like,
right.
Sis, this is dangerous. Those people could have really fucking hurt you and would have been well within their rights.
Exactly. That's the thing. They would have been really, like, you would have absolutely deserved it. Because are you out of your fucking mind? Who does this?
They got up when they realized that you wasn't about shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, they left.
Right. Damn.
White people.
Remember that song she had? What was that song?
No, I don't. And I don't want to.
Yes, you do.
I'm
you
okay.
Remember that song?
Okay.
Rumors. I'm tired of rumors. I'm tired of being followed. I'm tired of people something saying what they want about me.
I don't know what's more frightening. The fact that you know so much of it.
Why don't they let me live?
Or the fact that I recognize it.
Is that for what it is? I don't really know it, but that used to be my song.
Why?
Damn. Why do you recognize it? You loved it.
Because it happened.
Everybody loved Rumors.
Nobody loved it.
Yes, just like everybody loved that damn Paris Hilton Stars Are Blind.
No, and Stars acted like Are Blind they didn't. Was a musical gem.
Rumors was great.
Rumors
don't do
this. Was trash.
It was, oh, you are lying.
Paris Hilton had like at least 2 bops.
Are you telling me Stars Are Blind is better than Rumors?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You're dead to me. That is so wrong. You've never been more wrong about anything in your
Paris
whole life.
Paris Hilton. What was that other Paris Hilton song that went? Lindsay Lohan could never come.
How dare you do Rumors?
Let me tell you something. Firecrotch could never see Paris Hilton's discography, okay? Don't even try it.
Oh, no. This was back when she was still eating and everything.
Oh, see, now you didn't even have to
see,
do that.
See, this was the song.
You're wrong. Paris's self-titled debut in the year of 2006. Featuring...
Who?
Production from the likes of Scott Storch.
Oh, God.
What was the other fucking... She had 2 songs. Stars Are Blind. Was it Turn It Up? She, like, this was such white dumbness. Like, it was just...
Rumors was way better than Stars Are Blind.
Rumors
You're out of your
garbage.
Mind.
Rumors was fucking trash.
You're out of your mind.
Kyrie Irving has apologized to science teachers who have had to deal with his shit rippling into their classrooms after he was a part of the flat earth theory foolishness, I believe, last year. He was he attended the Forbes 30 Under 30 Summit and was on stage where he basically was like, you know, you're in the, everybody's had the conspiracy theory moment where somebody links them to a YouTube page or a YouTube link and they watch a video and they're like, hi. And like, well, he didn't say hi. But he's just, I don't know, a nigga, yes.
Right,
you smoked a blunt.
You meant
like,
I.
Yes.
Right.
Because yes, I have done that. I have been high.
Of course.
And somebody sent me a YouTube video and I watched it and I'm like, you know what? This shit makes fucking sense. Mm-mm. It has never been that the world is not around.
Right.
That one has never got me.
Not anything that you knew for certain to be a fact already not a fact either way. Yeah, it's just sad that this has actually influenced children, like to the point where teachers are like, now we have to combat your willful, loud ass ignorance, spreading it to these children who have Instagram accounts just like they mamas and daddies do, getting your dumb shit out here to the masses. Them babies don't deserve that.
I would assume it's a lot of kids that look up to Kyrie Irving specifically, like by kid basketball
For
fans.
What? Oh, well, yeah, I guess.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, but there are better players than Kyrie Irving.
But I only say that because I feel like there were way more people who were laughing at these niggas than people who agreed. So I feel like young impressionable kids would more than likely fall on the line of people who... Because these kids follow what the fuck they see.
Right, but you see how it spreads regardless of whether you laughing at it or believe it?
I mean, yeah, I know.
It spreads either way, so it's like...
It's like the fact that there were kids who were going into the classrooms and
being like,
at
I have a question.
Being like, the world is a fucking flat piece of water and land.
I know.
Because Kyrie Irving told me so, and he would never lead me wrong. Can you imagine being that teacher?
Right. And then you have to send this child down and be like, I don't know who or what a Kyrie Irving is. However, it lied to you.
Kehlani cheated on him, Mr. Wells. What the fuck do you mean you don't know who he is?
Oh my God. Kehlani cheated on.
Kalani did not cheat on Kyrie Irving. Right. Kyrie Irving just, after 2 years, yes, came forward and said that she never cheated on me. My bad. Y'all can stop calling her a wench.
I forgot about all that. Well, see, fuck Kyrie Irving. I don't got time for this nigga. Flat Earth, B.O.B. bullshit.
Well, at least he's been delivered.
From what?
From that foolishness.
Oh, well, but
B.O.B. is still out here smoking homegrown bud. Talking about that bullshit.
Lord, let me see. Where does he... Does he play for the Celtics?
Oh, shit. I thought you knew. I was about to just guess.
Yeah, he does play for the Celtics.
Damn. It's the Celtics?
Is it really the... Wait, hold on. Who am I asking? Never mind.
I was you absolutely are so being white.
Yes. Like, I don't know. Oh, white Irish bullshit.
Mashonda is promoting a new book called Blended. Guess what it's about, honey? It's not about weave and it's not about makeup.
Oh, well, then it has to be about all them children.
So she was actually joined by Swizzle Beatz and Alicia Keys at the 92nd Street Y, where they sat together to promote her book and discuss this book, Blended, which is about co-parenting in a blended family. Because we all know they have one.
Why?
92nd Street Y. Is that, or is it 91st?
Well, I mean, but why are you promoting a book at the Y?
Not the YMCA.
Oh.
No. The 92Y? It's a community.
I don't know. I see now. 92nd Street Y.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's YMCA. A multifaceted cultural institute.
It is not part of the YMCA.
It's not. Oh, no. It says...
It's the Young Men's and Young
92nd Street Young Men's and Young Women's Hebrew Association.
There you go. Honey.
Okay. Well, you know what? Great.
I see it all the time. I just don't know what the fuck it is. I just thought you meant
YMCA, but
okay. Yeah, because Y, the Y, yeah, no, whatever. Anyway, the book is about, you know, you and your old nigga, his new chick, and all of these kids.
Right. Does she address how she got over the...
Probably.
Because I feel like the biggest problem most of us have with blended families is at some point this nigga was fucking both of y'all. Like, that's where it comes... That's almost always where the drama comes in. It's never you had two kids with this girl, y'all broke up, 5 years later you married somebody else. It's never that.
He came to him and was like, you know what? We're just two different people.
It's never that.
And my heart isn't in it anymore.
Right.
And just as a human being and as much as I respect you as the mother of my kids.
I just have to cheat. I just feel compelled to cheat on you. I'm so sorry. I cannot control myself.
Also, we know all of the business in terms of this particular situation.
I remember your twit longers. I don't need to read no book. I remember that
The point is... Growth, okay? Issa D is not the only one going through it. Everybody is out here metamorphosizing.
Yes, everybody is out
Who
here.
Who are you to say anything about anyone, miss?
I'm just saying, I feel like the hard part is not blending the kids. It's getting over the fact that nigga was 1,000%
of the kids don't give a shit. I tell y'all be arguing in front of them. Or they tell somebody mad about something.
Right. Like, if niggas would just stop cheating and lying, it wouldn't be so hard to blend families. But.
Yes, usually the root of a lot of the difficulties is in something that nigga did or did not do.
Right.
Is not doing or whatever. So how many of those chapters?
Yes.
That needs to just be in the center of the book along with photographs.
Let's talk about diagrams, the real shit. Yes.
Pie charts, and what's the one with the squiggles? The squiggly line graph.
I don't know.
Graphs.
Those is line graph.
That is it.
Man, listen, she gonna have to detail how she got over that shit while Alicia was running around the world with her man.
I don't really care anything about that. So
that's what I want to read.
And Blackout.
Blackout.
Never mind. I don't know why I just said that.
Okay.
But you know what? I admire anyone, especially people with the huge platforms, who can just be like, hey, we hated each other or couldn't stand one another or one of us. You know, there was rage.
There was anger, yes.
There was anger, mm-hmm. and here we are together in a happier place. I'm not gonna shit on anybody who's able to raise, you know, their kids in a seemingly mm-hmm. healthy and happy dynamic, because many people are in these situations and die not mad.
You know what I'm saying? Incapable. Like, they are mad their whole lives.
Hawk spit directly into the casket, bitch. Like, some niggas just don't get over
Ooh-wee.
It. So damn. Hats off to anyone who can, like, really, like, yeah, but that's the norm.
I know, yes. And I'm not mad either. Like, listen, if your parent wasn't shit, then they simply wasn't shit,
right?
It is what it is. So, but yeah, I am glad to see everybody getting along, if only for the good of the children.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think, you know, time heals almost all wounds,
that
and
is
as
so
long
true.
As
if
the,
you let them.
If the child support is being paid in full and on time, look. And he's an active father to them kids, all them kids, then who really gives a shit? So, good job, though, for them. Because, you know, for a while, the sub-tweets, it was bad. It was bad. Alicia Keys really going back and forth with Mashonda on Twitter, man. That was a time.
Did they go back and forth?
Well, not like a bitch, how dare you,
a
response sort of thing. But I do remember some tweet longer essays coming out.
I do remember a lot of what Mashonda was
Mashonda
saying.
Used to let all them Alicia feelings responding. Out. I think Alicia maybe only a couple of tweets that were like vague and not really direct, but we all knew, right, what she was talking about. So, but, you know, long time ago, they water under the bridge.
Give the book a titular a song.
Oh, no. She was wearing makeup back then. She's a different woman now. She's not even the type of woman to take nobody else's husband no more. She's changed.
She's great without makeup. So it's like, girl, bitch,
like, you weren't really risking anything
right.
to be like, oh, I'm not wearing makeup anymore. It's like, okay, well, when weren't you fine?
You look better.
Right. So you just look like you. She looks like Fran, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you just wake up and bathe in sunlight.
Like if Fran had makeup on her face, I would be like, wait, what?
Like, what happened to your pores?
It's not that you're not
don't
fine.
No
it's just...
I don't get it. Right?
I forgot that you could wear makeup.
Right. It's just, you know, totally different lives now. Everybody has grown up and matured.
I salute. Because let me tell you
Beautiful.
Something. 50 Cent could probably read that book.
Oh, you know, he could learn a few lessons from this situation.
Maybe a few.
Ooh, you know, never mind.
Speaking of niggas and accountability, Clifford Harris has released a new song. It is called The Amazing Mr. Fuck Up. And it is essentially about all them hoes that he has been dealing with as a married man.
Okay, great.
Features Victoria Monet, who makes the song, in my opinion. Okay. I actually enjoy it. It's a good song. And, you know, cool. Like, instead of it being called 444, it could be called 404.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
No, I see. We know what you did there, and
yeah,
we're not.
Right.
So it's more of a okay, I see here that he did an interview with Zane Lowe, addressing some of the challenges and transgressions I have had as a husband.
See, I didn't even read that. That's hilarious. That is so fucking funny.
Loud niggas. I can't.
Oh my God. T.I. the walking thesaurus.
It's amazing all the shit I've done. Such examples I've been setting for my son. All she did was stay down and have my kid all the time just to realize I ain't
song.
Shit.
But it's also just a song.
Yeah, right. Are you going to actually stop cheating on time?
That's what we hope. It's a good effort and I'm sure it made her feel good. But you know what would make her feel great? Not putting your dick in other people.
Damn, if I must say in my defense, I think I should get credit for the asses I resist. See, how do you put out something good?
Yeah, that line kind of shook me up. But then he follows that line with like a response from her, which is basically like, see, this is the type of shit I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And him recognizing that, oh, shit, I can't even communicate.
Right.
Like, I'm all kinds of fucked up.
I mean, let's not forget the classic, what the fuck you gonna do?
Which is essentially
the
lemonade. This 404. He should call his album Error 404.
Oh, now that is good. Error 404 is really good. Wow, you're a genius.
You're welcome.
So write that down.
Yeah, you know, it's a good song. It's produced well. I think Victoria sounds great, and it's a nice song, and hopefully it's followed up with some actions that reflect it.
Some no longer cheating on Tiny. That would be nice.
Or at the very least, not publicly embarrassing her.
Right, just goddamn. Where bitches have phones out. My good grief.
I think after that last one where he had his hands on old girl's butt in the backstage or wherever they were.
Right.
After that, when he was like, okay, fuck it. Because again, whoever filmed that was hiding in an Amazon box.
Damn.
Like, I don't know. Go back and find it. Whoever filmed that shit was underneath the catering tray with their phone out. He was like, okay, I definitely can't cheat on this bitch no more.
You got to stop. Good. If that's what it takes.
Whatever has to happen, sir.
For you to just stop putting your dick in other people.
Cardi B turned herself in to authorities to face charges. Connected over them two heifers at Angels and Queens.
Well.
One of whom has been accused of sleeping with Offset. One of many women.
Right, there we go.
Who have been sleeping with Offset. So she's facing charges, looks to say misdemeanor here, after she approached these women on August 29th and sicked some people on them.
Sicked.
Apparently they can no longer work at the strip club due to the altercation, and they want their ducats.
Well,
so
who didn't
she was
see this coming?
Seen walking out of the courthouse with a brand new wig on and a smile on her face, which told me that she would do it again. If the chance arises. So, sweetheart.
This is nothing but money to me.
Right. Until it's jail time.
Right. Until then.
Again, not that I don't understand that fights happen and sometimes you want to lay hands on somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm not holier than thou in any way, shape, or form. Couldn't be if I tried. But you are just in a position that where you can't put, you can't even consider putting hands on people, because it's just, I mean, even if you don't pay them a dime, you still, this ain't free.
Right. You have stuck to pay your lawyer to deal with this, if nothing else. So, and you will have to pay them. You almost certainly going to have to come out your pocket for them hoes. I can't tell you whether it's worth it because it's not my money, but it just seems like, okay, let's not make a habit of this though, because jail is not too far away.
I can tell you if it's worth it. It's not. Because you wanted for these girls to get knocked around over a nigga who allegedly cheated on you with one of them, but definitely cheated on you with girls who are not there.
Right.
So it's like, I can get not liking these girls. I can even get them, you know, taunting you and pissing you off over it or whatever, mm-hmm. and hyping it up and making you want to fight them even more. But at the end of the day, them girls didn't put hands on your mama. They didn't put hands on your baby.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They didn't come at you with a knife. They didn't fight your sister.
Right.
Like, your nigga is the one out here doing dirt. And even if he never, if they get turned into dust like Thanos snapped his fingers, that nigga is still going to cheat on you with one of whoever's left. Okay? Like, that's the blackest of the bottom line, sis.
That's really it. If niggas can find something breathing with a vagina, they're going to cheat. So, you might as well.
You gotta really look at these niggas and how they cheat. You know what I'm saying? You gotta, because niggas are just out here. You know what I'm saying? They are out here.
They
don't give a fuck. It's how a nigga cheats, and it's how a nigga, like, responds to and reacts to it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I actually do agree with that.
Because if a nigga is like out here and basically got caught and then, you know, bought you a Rolex or a car or took you to Nobu or whatever the fuck and fucked it all away and then does it some more times, you have to tell your, like, you have to acknowledge in yourself, even if you have a baby with this nigga, you already have a house with this nigga, all of these things. You have to ask yourself, self, in all of who I am, mm-hmm. as a child of the higher power that cares about me.
Amen.
If you believe in that sort of thing. No shade if you don't. You cool too. Is this nigga gonna stop cheating on me? Like, where's the tangible evidence that I'm not gonna have to go through with this nigga, this bullshit anymore with this nigga? Where is it at? Do I have any of it?
Yeah.
No!
Because these hoes are just placeholders for other hoes. These hoes are interchangeable with other hoes. Cardi, fighting them don't make no sense if he just gonna go out and fuck somebody else new whenever he feel like it anyway.
Make a note. for everything that happens as a result of this that is annoying to you. Small things, large things, everything. Right. Just make a list of everything in this particular situation that aggravates the fuck out of you as a result of you going down to that club or sending people down to that club to fight these girls and throw chairs and shot glasses and shit. And then when it's all said and done and this nigga does it again, look at that list of notes. Look at that list of notes and ask yourself, do I really want to put myself through this bullshit again?
This is some real shit.
With this nigga who doesn't seem like he's gonna stop ever.
Right.
Or am I gonna take my things and my baby and go on about my motherfucking business? Cardi B, you are blessed in the fact that you don't have to be with that nigga for nothing.
Say it again.
You didn't set chase to get that nigga. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you have your own things.
Yes.
You can take Culture, Kiari, Cephas, whatever the baby's name is.
I do believe that's her name.
You can take that child and still drape them in the finest
yes.
of things with your own money.
Right.
Okay? All of the money that you have to pay to this lawyer, that could have been a brand new Gucci suit for this baby.
Yes. Probably a matching Just Gucci cause. Suit for you and the baby. Probably could have.
So why?
I don't know. I really don't get it because most women in the situation Cardi is in, like with a nigga who's cheating on them, wish they had the financial ability to lead a nigga.
Exactly.
So many women stay because they need the stability of somebody going in on this rent and bills with them.
So
I just don't understand. But you know what? What other people
You're
do
not
in their
attractive.
I just don't see the point in fighting these girls. I don't get that, sis. You might as well fight your nigga, cuss him out, because he is the one who is doing something fucked up to you. It's not the other
Cruz
way around.
Cruz is out here getting digged down by Victor Cruz.
Smart. Because she's smart.
On season two going on season three of a show that's been well received. Talk about a comeback kid.
Yeah.
This is what you know what? I'm going to take my things.
Okay.
And I'm going to go. And I'm just going to do me.
And I'm going to give me a little part-time job on a show where I basically just have to play myself.
Does she play herself? I watched like maybe three episodes.
Well, I mean, she doesn't play like a famous socialite, but like just a pretty...
Pretty girl? Just like a little ratchet?
Yeah, you know what? There you go.
Okay.
That is her character on Claws.
I watched like the first three episodes of it and then I fell
that
off.
That is her character on Claws. Yes.
I want to catch up because I liked it. I just had to go catch up on other things.
Yeah.
But either way.
I have a long list of shows.
Cardi, I'm not worried about you as a businesswoman being affected by your ratchetry because people know you're ratchet and we don't give a shit about that.
Facts, we don't.
But it just, niggatry, they just...
When we start getting the court system involved, that's when I have to say, okay, girl, what are we doing?
Like, you know that you made Migos just as interesting as, like you lent a lot to them as far as a look.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you
made them pop
this,
culture-y.
Like, I don't know if you don't know this, but you way, way above Offset's level. Like, you so fine. That nigga is not. You just don't deserve this.
Migos is out here. I'm not going to take nothing away from them and their...
I know they're very popular.
Their Versace blazers.
They are some mumble rap pioneers.
Their fantastic beats and catchiness. I don't find them to be trash. But...
Okay.
Sis.
It's just not worth it. It's not.
Niggas just have an overwhelming ability to just make you forget sometimes that you are lit.
They really do. They can take your own perspective from you or you forget that you are actually a bad bitch independent of this
yes.
motherfucker.
Like on your own.
Yes. All by yourself.
And
you can
more.
Do it. Yes. Wow. Well, good luck, Cardi.
Meanwhile, Nicki Minaj has posted clips from Queen, the documentary, which is said to be coming soon. In these two clips, she discusses first her mother's past with an abusive relationship with her father, Nicki's father.
Oh, Lord.
And then she reveals that she was in a situation just like that after promising that she would never let a man put her hands on her and stuff like that. She's in tears. It's this whole like sad thing. And that was just kind of it. She just sort of teases this conversation of how deep, I guess, the Queen documentary is about to get or whatever. Meanwhile, of course, the Barbs are searching heavily for evidence of which one of these niggas it was that
right.
put hands on the
Can't
Queen.
Can't blame them.
Some eyes are on Meek Mill because not too long after that, he posted some cryptic Insta meme about playing the victim or some shit like that.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know. And I really like, you know, it's up to her how much or little she wants to discuss. Mm-hmm. I just find it unfortunate and sad that another very strong, not at all like censored, mm-hmm. successful woman,
right,
also has to deal or has had to deal with like self-doubt and you know, self-destruction and all of the stuff, not wanting to work and shit like that, because these niggas are out here being a fucking fool.
Yep, and they will fuck with your feelings and have you out here just not being yourself no more. That's very real.
And then be like, oh, let me send you an edible arrangement or some shit. Like, oh my God. Ugh.
Well, I hope that, you know, the teaser is reflective of a real, deep, honest, sincere conversation. And it's not just promo and dumb shit that is going to wrap back around to, right. like, bars about KKK or whatever. It's like, it's just, I'm just hoping that's not where it's going. And we're
did you say KKK?
Oh, pick a K. Pick a K!
Kibbles and bits. I don't know.
What is that song where she says to pick a K? It don't matter. Anyway, that makes me think about me and my therapist were talking about how I left my ex after we had a domestic abuse situation. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, I talked to so many people who have been through that. And, you know, it's very difficult for them to leave after the first time. And,
yeah.
you know, what would you say to people about what it was like for you? And I just told her, you know, like, even with everything for me being as good as it possibly could be, like, I didn't depend on that nigga for nothing. We didn't right. live together, didn't have no kids, family didn't know each other, all that. It was still really hard to leave.
Yeah.
So I hope Nikki is going to talk to, because I feel like that's something her fans can really benefit from, is somebody talking about, you know what, this is the signs of an abusive relationship. And if you get with a nigga and all of a sudden he trying to change your personality and make you tone down, like, niggas want the wild, crazy girl who don't give a fuck about nothing and is her own person, and then they want to turn her into yeah. like some,
like, put her in a cage,
like, and domesticated make her housewife. Yeah. And it's like, that's actually like, I'm still a crazy fat bitch, right. like, being with you don't change what? That, right? So I hope she talks to about, you know, if a nigga tries to ostracize you from your friends and starts excluding you from, like, being able to go out and trying to be controlling and all this sort of thing, then it's time to let these niggas go, you know? And we have to really value ourselves more than we value being in relationships. But that's hard for a lot of us. A lot of us do not do that. Mm. So I hope that's where it goes and not, you know, pink Lamborghini to race with China. But we gonna see.
I'm sure it's going to be all of the above. But this in contrast with, like, to freedom. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to Sojourner Truth and shit.
Well, I mean, honestly, To Freedom is iconic.
Oh, that's
it's
never,
one of the best things coming out of 2018.
Easily. Like, undisputed.
To Freedom! We're going to be doing that for a long time.
For a very long time.
So, yeah, we'll see what Nikki does.
I'm just, like, you know, not because she's crying or because this is, you know, like, a sad or deep story, but just having, like, a real honest conversation with her that is like, yeah. I want to see more of that shit. Like, you're a grown-ass woman. You got a lot of younger fans that could use those lifelines. Because they if you tell them to come in here and eat this microphone right now, they'll do it. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
right.
yes, things like this and seeing, yes, even I have dealt with this. This is how, like, these are signs of it. Don't ever let a nigga this, da, da, da. That's what I care about. Mm-hmm. I don't care about who don't like who.
Yeah, that's real.
And it also says a lot about how you were like, girl, I'm staying right here. Like, I'm not even kidding. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm being for real. Like, it answers a lot of questions. It opens up a lot of real shit and cuts away a lot of shenanigans.
Yeah. I like that.
I tried.
That's,
you know,
nice. Something new. I like that. That's good.
So, God bless us, everyone. I'm going to cut off the tops right there.
But what about the verses in the wardrobe?
Still in that wardrobe, honey.
Finding the ice queen. They always be in that wardrobe. All right, Jesus. Let us take a break.
Hey guys, support for today's episode is coming from The Hate U Give, opening in select theaters October 5th and everywhere on October 19th. The Hate U Give is a story about hope and standing up for what's right. It's a film that has the potential to ignite change. Star Carter, a 16-year-old who is constantly switching between two worlds, the poor, mostly black neighborhood where she lives and the rich, mostly white prep school she attends. The uneasy balance between these worlds is shattered with Star witnessing the fatal shooting of her childhood best friend, Khalil, at the hands of a police officer. Now facing pressure from all sides of the community, Star must find her voice and stand up for what's right. Many of y'all have read the book, so you're probably already familiar, but she's got to learn that in times of darkness, the key is to never stop doing what's right. The Hate U Give is based on the critically acclaimed New York Times bestseller by Angie Thomas and stars Amanda Stenberg as Star, with Russell Hornsby, Regina Hall, Issa Rae, KJ Apa, and many more people. So don't miss the film that critics are calling the most important story in years. The Hate U Give opens in select theaters on October 5th and everywhere October 19th. Go check it out, because I know I will. And we'll be right back. Okay, so letters.
Yes. Are you ready for the inbox?
I never know what's coming out of the inbox. The fact that you asked me that first kind of makes me feel like...
Well, I'm actually proud of the inbox this week. It's not as much garbage as it was last week. I'm very proud of you guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, last week was... I mean, OnlyFans.
Oh, God. That OnlyFans story was Mom too porn. Much.
I want to know. I wonder if I've seen his videos. 45 grand, damn, my nigga. Like, have. Maybe you popular.
He probably is. Like, the... Well, never mind. I don't know how OnlyFans works, so let me not try to figure that out. But, okay. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. We have a question this week from Crystal's Couch from Benzo, who says... Does your therapist know that you smoke weed? I am looking into obtaining a therapist and want to be as transparent as possible with them about my coping mechanisms and how I deal with stress and anxiety. I just want to know how marijuana is looked at from them as professionals, especially in cities where weed is not yet legal. Is your therapist accepting of it? Have they tried to get you to wean off or stop altogether? I love weed and don't plan on stopping, but I also don't want to be shamed for it by professionals. So I'm struggling with deciding whether I should bring it up or not. Love, Benzo. Well, all Benzo, right. I will tell you for myself that my therapist absolutely knows that I smoke weed.
Same.
Me and that lady have very few secrets.
Right?
Very few secrets. Yeah. And for me, weed has such a medicinal effect. Like, I am usually using weed to lift my mood enough to where I will leave the house. Or I'm smoking it, like, at the end of the day to wind down and get ready for bed. It's one
right.
Day, but... I use weed to get things done, not to avoid doing things. So
same.
She doesn't have an issue with it, but ultimately she would like to see me not high, you know, every day. Like, the goal is for me to get to the point where I don't feel like I need to have my mood lifted to leave the house. I just wake up in the mood to leave the house.
Right.
But, you know, baby steps.
Hello.
We're getting there, though. Slowly but surely.
My nose, too. I told her very early on that I never had a problem or felt ashamed or anything about it. I mean, like, people smoke weed. A lot of people. A lot of right. people of all kinds. Especially when you go to cities that have dispensaries and you go into them in like, different neighborhoods and
right.
shit. And see, I swear when I was just in L.A., I went to that dispensary, the one that we went to last time.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady who, like, no shit, looked just like Sophia Petrillo, was in there with her, like, younger daughter who may have been, like, in her 50s or something. And they were, like, buying edibles for the both of them and their
yes,
son who
Dorothy
wasn't there.
Sophia.
You know what I'm saying? So it was like,
people
do it. It's just whatever. It's not really that... it's not that big a deal. But anyway... yeah, I brought it up with her early on, and we never really had... Like, she didn't initiate a discussion about it specifically, but I have told her before, like, I smoke, you know, because I live in New York, and it's hard, and it's
yes.
rough, and it just sort of helps to, like, balance my mood and keep me, like, going sometimes. Sometimes I do just because I want to be high.
Facts.
So,
I
like,
mean,
just because I like
being
it.
High is a fun feeling. Like, it is a fun feeling. You cannot deny that. But
she did ask me things like, you know, how has it prevented you from doing things before? What kind of things has it prevented you from doing before? Has it been able to help you get things done or be productive? And it's done both. So
right.
it's not really a thing that we even focus on. I don't think that it's an issue or a problem for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I do feel... The things I do feel like are problems are could be in the future, I have no problem. I like immediately bring them up with her. So she knows I get high and doesn't judge or have a problem with
yeah,
it.
No,
hey, I wouldn't be surprised
either.
If she does too, to be honest. She doesn't seem like
I just
it,
assume everybody in New York is smoking weed. I just assume that. So maybe she is and maybe she ain't, but she knows what's up with me and she's not judging. And that's really all that I can... that I would really want from a therapist is somebody who just understands, like, look, bitch, I'm doing the very best I can with what I got right now.
And honestly, when you think about it, especially if it's a psychiatrist, meaning someone who can, like write you prescriptions, I'm sure when I talk about weed to this lady, mm-hmm. as far as, like, the dangers of it and stuff, that lady knows about far worse. You know what
oh,
I'm saying?
Oh, definitely.
I know that when it comes to substances, mm-hmm. that weed is, like, at the bottom of the list in terms of shit that she needs to
it
be concerned
really
about for me. So
mine worries more about my glass of wine every night than she does about the weed. She was like, really, wine? Let's talk about this. Why are we drinking wine? What feelings do you have that you're trying to drown with the wine? And I'd be like, yo, okay, you do have a point, but right. But mind your business, lady.
Maybe one is tasty.
All right, anyway, we're gonna move on to the regular inbox now. This question comes from Lillian, who says, that is a fake name. I am a half black, half Filipino woman. I am engaged to a Latina. We have been together for 3 years. She had a daughter from a previous relationship, and since the father is not in the picture, I took the little girl in and claimed her as my own. Of course she did. I worked two jobs to provide for my family. My fiancé cheated on me before, about 6 months after we started dating, but we got through it, got engaged.
And wait, this same girl?
Yes.
Okay.
And we grew our family. Now she still works with the person she cheated on me with and recently became very sketchy with her phone, hiding it. And deleting messages. One night I found it under the couch and looked through her texts. There was a thread with an unknown number that had been recently deleted, and the text that was remaining said, good night, beautiful. Hmm. We argued and I asked who it was. She said it was a white chick who's just a friend and said she hid it from me so I wouldn't get mad at how the friend talked to her. Now, of course, I didn't buy that bullshit.
Girl. And I
thought about the woman she cheated on me with. She didn't give me any straight answers. All she kept saying was that she needs someone to talk to, and I'm taking it way out of line.
The bitch that you...
What I don't understand is why be so damn suspect about it if that's what it is. I've been building trust for her since she cheated the first time. Then this happens and now I don't know what to believe. I stay true to her. She has all my passwords to everything. I pay all her bills and I'm there for her and her daughter. Our families are even close with each other and now we have this new baby. Am I taking this out of line? And if I am not, how do I end this relationship if necessary without it being messy? She could take the kids away because technically they are not mine by blood and she gave birth to them. It happened in my previous relationship with my son, who I no longer have any contact with. Please help a sister out. Thanks. Y'all the realists. Confused lesbian. Oh, Lilith. Is that what I called her? Lillian. What was it? Lilith is gayer. All right.
You called her Lillian the first time.
My bad.
I think Lilith is also the name of a demon.
I was thinking Lilith Fair. Isn't that when white women came together to play their ukuleles?
Sounds about right.
Menstruate together or something like that.
Wow.
I don't really remember what the Lilith Fair was. Maybe a book conference. I don't know. I have to look it up.
Lesbian.
So, yeah. Drama. How do you feel about Lillian?
So, your lady love is absolutely cheating on you.
Damn.
And you can take that how you want to take it. She's being inappropriate. How deep this cheating goes, I can't say for sure. Only person who could is her and the person that she's doing it with.
Mm-hmm.
But she's absolutely exhibiting guilty ass, shady ass behavior.
This is a mess.
And if she's cheated on you before and y'all have moved past this, she should be doing more to make you... She can't, like, you can't expect her to, like, bend over backwards. I'm not saying that she should just be, like, sucking your ass every second of the way to make you feel like, I'm not cheating on you. I'm not cheating. You know what I'm saying? You do have to, like, forgive and, like, move forward in a healthy way and stuff. But hiding your phone and deleting text messages and doing, like, that's clearly suspect shit.
Right.
And then giving me bullshit responses when I talk to you about it is not going to help after you already cheated on me and I'm still here. Like, what the fuck is going on?
No, Lord.
Okay, the complicated situation in this is the child that I'm sure you've already grown a connection with and care about. And you've experienced, you said, this same thing before mm-hmm. with a prior relationship and stuff. So,
which is real. Like, they can take the baby and leave and you never have contact with that child again.
Yes.
Like, which is so fucked up, but it definitely can happen.
But the question, I guess, to ask yourself then is, do I want to stay in a situation with somebody that I clearly can't trust and allow them to abuse, like, my feelings and insult my intelligence because of my attachment to this child?
Right.
Or do I need to figure out who to talk to and how to get through the process of this kid possibly mm-hmm. also not being in my life anymore? Because not only does it sound like she's cheating on you, it sounds like she doesn't give a fuck about cheating on you, which means that she then probably wouldn't stop. Again, like I said, it's niggas and how they react and respond to the shit after they've done it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's fucked up. Hopefully with the new baby, maybe since y'all chose to add this baby to the family together, your name is on the documents and she can't. You would think that people wouldn't want to hurt their children by taking away the parental figure they have in their lives.
Yeah,
but
they don't give a fuck.
Y'all be playing too goddamn much too many times anyway when it comes to your kids and your partners. So I just think, you know, sis, this is a lot. Ultimately, you need to protect your own feelings. Like, it would be very difficult for me to date a parent because, first of all, dealing with the other parent, it just sounds like stress off, like, top. And then, like, me getting super attached to your kids or your kids getting attached to me and we, like, kicking it and having fun and like, being cool. And then me and you break up and I don't get to see the kids no more. It's, like, heartbreaking. Nobody wants to go through that. So I really feel for you as far as that is concerned. If you need to try to get visitation or legal rights or whatever set up before you actually leave her, because y'all aren't married, so you have to check with your state, like, what the legal shit is here. It sounds like you might not even really have much of an option, but you just don't deserve to have to, like, girl, you paying all this bitch's bills. It ain't what you. I'm the one keeping this phone on. How are you texting secrets and having bullshit? And then you done cheated on me before and you acting like you don't understand why. No. Fuck that.
It's another moment where she's wasting your time and playing with you. 1,000% honest with yourself. And in that honesty, acknowledge that by leaving her, you're sort of setting yourself up for multiple emotional blows.
Right.
But those blows can and will heal. It's just deciding whether or not you want to do it. And honestly, my nigga, like, if you're going to be in a situation where you got to constantly question her, and on top of that, she's exhibiting behavior. Some people get cheated on and then they get really, really, like, paranoid over every little thing. Right. They used to you getting home at 7 o'clock, you got home at 7:12. Who is that bitch? You know what I'm saying? Like, some people.
Oh, it's me.
Some people, like, just can't handle it. And it's the same situation. That means, nigga, you need to go and find somebody else who ain't cheating on your ass and, you know, start from scratch. But if she's doing clear stuff that is suspect after you've already experienced this,
right,
you got to be like, all right, this is going to suck, but what I got to do, I got to take care of me. And we don't have a child together, so.
Well, good luck to you with however this shakes out. I'm sorry to not have better news for you, but she sounds like a mess.
Yeah.
You probably would have way less drama in your life without her. All right. Our next question comes from Sean, who says, I am a 22-year-old straight male biracial college student. My mother had me when she was 25, and her husband / my father was just an all-around fuck nigga.
I knew this was coming.
He was abusive and sold drugs out of our apartment at the time. When I was 2, my mother made the decision to leave him and became a single white mom with a black baby. Her family was not progressive or forward-thinking. We were dead broke and had nothing but each other. She even had to skip meals because we only had enough food for me. Whew, Lord. Anyway, fast forward a couple years, and the man I call father came into our life when he was in his early 20s. The two of them have built a life where they make great money and have quite a nice house. They had a daughter when I was 8, and we all work every day to ensure that she's better off than all of us could be. When I was 16, my sperm donor's family reached out to me on Facebook talking about how I have sisters who want to meet me and my aunt misses me. I had no desire to see them at the time because I already have a family and a sister that I love, and I don't give two fucks about any of those niggas. Well, but now that I'm in college studying history, I have an urge to learn more about where my ancestors came from. But I am scared to talk to my mother about this due to the pain that my father brought to me and her. My girlfriend is the only one who knows I feel this way, and she thinks I deserve to try and learn more about where my ancestors came from. My question is, should I talk to my mother about this so I can figure it out, even if that may open old wounds and require confronting people we left behind in the past, or just let this go for the sake of the family she and my father have built? P.S. I've listened to the show for many years. Hope you both have continued success for many more years to come. Thank you, Sean. I appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Sean.
Young man. He is young. 22. Wow.
So wait. Okay. So the father, his father is back with his mother?
No. His mother is with some other man and they have another child.
Oh, they have a child
happy.
Together.
Right.
Okay. The man who he calls his father.
Right. His donor's family has started to reach out over the past few years trying to see what's up.
Okay. I just received that incorrectly.
Okay.
That's
hard.
It is hard. I would hope, you know, here's the thing. I think that you being your mom's kid, in a situation like this, I think hopefully she's sort of prepared for these types of conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, just knowing that we can all imagine that the nigga is dust and gone and never existed
right,
or whatever.
Same.
But at the end of the day, he's still your daddy that I made you with. Mm-hmm. So you having questions or having things in relation to him is just a thing that's going to happen. And you're 22 on top of that, so it's still early in that realm.
Right, very much
you
so.
Know, so.
You're still very young.
So, I mean, I get what you're saying and why you're hesitant to ask your mom about this or bring it up to her. I'm very sensitive about my parents, my mom, and stuff like that as well, so I feel you. But I mean, if you want to know more about your people and where you come from and stuff like that, and you didn't spit in an ancestry kit, then you know what I'm saying?
Lord, right.
It is what it is. I think that, you know, there are ways to bring that up to your mother and have that conversation with her that aren't like damaging or that aren't, you know, that don't get like explosive.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's real. But your mother, like you said, the mother in this situation has to be prepared for you being like, okay, so I remember very vaguely it used to be a black man around here who
wasn't shit.
Was like and sold drugs or something. And you know, now they done found you on Facebook because Facebook brings everybody together. Even the people
everyone
you literally have no interest in ever seeing again. So I think your mother should probably be, if not like excited about it, at least prepared for it mentally that you're going to want to have questions like this. And probably all you really want to hear from her is that it's okay for you to talk to the other side of your family and all that. And again, that's if you want to. I know you said at first you didn't really have any desire to rock with those people. But now that a few years have gone by, maybe your heart is starting to soften up and you're like, okay, you know, I might want to get to know these half-sisters. Well, I mean, your people probably call them half-sisters. I know. I feel like black people don't really do
that.
Yeah,
we don't really do the half thing.
Yeah, like, and your aunties and all this other stuff. Even though I also feel like I've kind of been in this same situation with, like, we moved away from Louisiana when I was small. And so then I just didn't really see my daddy's side of the family that much anymore.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm older and I have my own nephew and we live across the country from each other, I'm just like, I get that you can't be there all the time. Like, you can't see him every other weekend or whatever. But I never miss my nephew's birthday. And I never miss seeing him for Christmas.
Yeah.
And so part of it is just like, okay, but you knew I was out there. You were the adult. So why didn't you come find me? Like, your aunties and all that? I don't know. Maybe your mama just cut all contact off. Maybe they didn't even talk to your daddy. So they didn't even know, like, what was going on with you. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I wish you the best of luck as you go talk to these people because it can be really complicated. And I don't know if your mama's new husband is black, if your sister in the house is half black. I don't know if you have any other black people around or if you're the only one in your family.
Damn, I forgot. He said he was biracial.
Yeah. His mama's white. So I don't know if the new husband is white too. And then the sister's white. So you might feel like you're the only one who don't fit into the family, like, because you're the only one who's blatantly not white.
It's possible. I don't know.
Right. So, but good luck to you regardless, because that is a hard thing to deal with, and you're allowed to have your feelings about it.
Sounds like you just sort of want your mother's blessing to, like, go on this quest if you decide to do it. And the good thing is that if you get it from her, which I think that conversation can and will go well, or not be as bad as you think that it might be. And then once that's done, it's really like the ball is in your court to handle that situation however you want to handle it. And you can speak to these people when and how and where and whatever you want to. Like, that would make the process of going actually approaching it, I guess, maybe a little bit more comfortable. But that's still going to have its trials and motherfucking tribulations as well.
Right.
It's real easy to meet a family member when you're already pretty, you know, grown and not really like them as a person. And then just be like, I don't like that bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's different when you grow up around somebody who has, you know, issues or is annoying or whatever. And you just love on them anyway because they're your family member. And they've just always been there. But when you meet a cousin, uncle, auntie, father, mother, sister, brother, or something halfway through.
Right.
Are good and into your 20s and 30s and shit like that. Like, and you aggravating. It's just like, oh, I don't ever have to talk to
you. We ain't got to be friends at all.
Like, I'm good.
Oh, I've been, you know, I've been going my whole life without knowing you, and I could just keep that same energy. Yeah. I'm actually totally fine with that.
Cool.
So our last question comes from Marisol, who says, I'm writing this because I am not sure what to do. I found out this past Friday that I'm pregnant. It is not my ideal situation because I thought I would be married with a nice house, cars, and a dog before I had a kid. I'm having such a big issue with this because I don't have a stable piece of anything in my life to even give a child. I am not sure I even have a job to make money to take care of myself. I'm pregnant by a nigga I have no business being with. I guess we were trying to make nothing into something. Lord.
Yeah, you did.
How many of us have been there before? So the father and I have decided that an abortion is our best route. I decided to tell my family today, worst mistake ever. They are Christian and Bible-based. My mother is even a pastor. So saying that word made their skin crawl. They said things like, you can't abort that baby, or my personal favorite, nobody aborted you, so why would you commit murder? I'm a hot mess.
Wait, I've never heard that one before.
Oh, I definitely have.
So
don't have
an abortion. What does that have to do with you? Can't find the sense.
Can't make sense out of nonsense. I know the old saying that if I'm grown enough to do the act, I should be able to take care of the baby and own up to my responsibilities. I feel like this is also still my decision. I know this might be a touchy subject, but if you guys could help, or if you have an encouraging word for your girl, I am going through it. Thanks a lot. Love you guys. Sincerely, Marisol.
Marisol, let me just say this, and I'm gonna back off. I have always believed in that being whoever is growing the fetus's motherfucking business. Luckily I can't get pregnant and I cannot get any of my partners pregnant.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Not yet anyway.
I can't get any, right.
Wait and see what science can do.
With science now, I can't do that on accident or on purpose. So as someone who can neither gestate a baby, nor do I fucking like them, I just don't have much of a stance in the, you know, topic of abortion. I'm pro-choice. I just feel like if you're the one who is, there are too many situations where you are, like a woman or a young girl or whoever finds themselves pregnant and just they're not prepared to take care of that child. And yes, there are like multiple different avenues that you can go down after having the baby.
Right.
But just I myself as a man have never felt comfortable being like, well, girl, you need to do this, bitch.
Because it will never be your problem.
Exactly. Even if you give your baby up for adoption or keep the baby or whatever, like, if you're not even sure, like, I will go my whole life talking about the nightmare that is childbirth to me, as well as like growing them niggas inside of your body for most of the year. Mm-hmm. It just sounds terrible. It sounds so very like
exhausting. Like,
oh my, your feet get swollen. Your nose swells up twice its size.
It does.
Like, I just don't. That's none of my business. That's it. Like, I just do whatever you want to do, and I feel like you should just be allowed. Period.
Oh, girl. Yeah, that's that. Okay, so I will say that I have had a lot of friends in this situation, pregnant and don't know what they gonna do.
Me too.
And I have friends who have had abortions. I have friends who have kept it. Me I have too. Friends who have done both of those things.
Me too.
It just depended on which time it was.
Right, and or, which right, nigga or whatever.
All of that,
yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And of all the women I know who have had abortions or who have had surprise pregnancies and kept them, the only one who regrets her decision is the one who got an abortion because the baby's daddy wanted her to.
Mm.
If nobody, a lot of them have been like, oh girl, I'm so broke. How am I going to do it? But I just want this weird peanut M&M growing inside of me. I just want it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, you know, have had babies under what they thought were going to be the perfect circumstances. And then you have a baby and your husband cheats on you and you're like, wow, what am I supposed to do with myself? And you found yourself pregnant again or whatever. It's been a bunch of different situations. But the only person who regretted it was somebody who did not make her own decision, follow her own heart, do what she wanted to do.
That makes complete sense to me.
So I'm going to say that when you sit down by yourself at night and you think about it, like real deep down in your soul, what you're going to do with this child and how you can possibly take care of it, ask it, do you really want this experience? Do you want the experience of getting pregnant, even if you decide to give the baby up for adoption? Pregnancy and childbirth ain't no cakewalk. That ain't no walk in the park. So you have to decide if that's something that,
oh my God, so much work.
You want to put your body through just to turn around and give that baby up? Do you want to completely turn your life upside down by adding an infant to it? You know, this baby daddy, God only knows.
Right.
He's going to step up. And
it's not even like you with a nigga who is also broke and y'all ain't ready and like the financial situation is the most difficult part. Like, you talking about you still trying to get that part of your life together, right. And on top of it, this nigga ain't shit.
But y'all not right. Y'all not even in a relationship. So, I mean, not even trying to tell you what to do. Not even trying to tell you what to do. I just want you to not let what your mama think or your auntie or whoever else is talking to you about what you need to keep and all that. I don't want them to get inside your head, and I don't want your baby daddy or anybody else to be telling you, oh well, this is what you need to do, you need to get rid of it. Like, you ask yourself what you want to do.
What the fuck do you
right.
want to do, good sis?
Do you feel like, well, I do want to have a baby, but not right now, the timing is wrong? Okay, that's your decision. Whatever your decision is, whatever your justification is, if you're gonna say I'm dead broke and this is the worst possible situation and the baby daddy ain't gonna be shit, but damn it, I'm pregnant
and I want this baby.
Then, that is then fucking good, fine girl. Too. Yes.
And that baby's gonna have love.
Let it be your decision.
Yours.
That's all I want. Don't let nobody else try to convince you of what to do, because then I think you run the risk of, I mean, because a lot of girls are pressured into keeping babies with that same logic,
yeah.
And then end up resenting them little niggas. They be the same girls that go to the club, woof, and leave their 2-year-old to watch the 6-month-old. You be like, what?
Right.
Bitch, you can't.
Do what you feel like,
yes,
you need to do.
Amen.
That's really like,
listen to your heart and do what it tells you to do and go from there. That is going to wrap up the questions for this week. Send yours to asktheread@gmail.com and we'll be right back.
Hey y'all, today's episode is being brought to you by ZipRecruiter. There are job sites that send you tons of the wrong resumes to sort out through or make you wait for the right candidates to apply to your job. That's not smart. But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/3 to hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes and identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes. No more waiting for the right candidates to apply. And that is why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. And I've actually seen comments from a few of you at this point who said you've used it because you are a baller. shot caller who needed some employees, and it was great for you. And I've also seen comments from people who have said that they got hired really quickly using ZipRecruiter. So
I got a job off ZipRecruiter once upon a time. It really did work for me. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this address at ZipRecruiter.com/TheRead. 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 With ZipRecruiter, it is the smartest way to hire. Go check them out. Let them know we sent you, and let's move on.
This week's episode is also being brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Make dinner in as little as 20 minutes with quick and easy recipe options and perfectly portioned ingredients delivered right to your door in a nifty little box. No meal planning or shopping required, whether you're looking for quick and easy meals for a culinary cooking experience. Blue Apron lets you choose from a range of recipe options. Get out of your cooking rut and experience the joy of new recipes. You know, get all flashy with your new cuffing season partner and make them a little Blue Apron dish.
That's a good idea. You know, it's time to start settling down with somebody for the colder weather. You got to impress your new little something with your recipes.
That's right.
With all you can do. Blue Apron is great. They have so many incredible recipes that they've sent out, like the tomato and basil pesto pizza, the stir-fried sweet chili chicken,
some for me.
Seared steaks with that sauce, you know, some seared beef dumplings and jasmine rice.
Love a jasmine.
And, me too. There's so much more to check out. So you can go check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/TheRead. That's blueapron.com/TheRead to get your first three meals free. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. Go check them out. And now let's wrap up the show.
Okay, it's time for the read.
Yes, what's happening this week?
Okay, so three quick things. So, there's this new show on Revolt you may have heard of called State of the Culture. It is hosted by Joe Budden, Scotty Beam, Remy Ma.
Oh, God.
I think there's a fourth person.
I don't know who Scotty Beam is. I'm going to be real with you.
Scotty Beam is a very beautiful black girl who used to be on, I think, Ebro in the Morning. She has a Hot 97 background, but she's very fine and is on this new show with them.
Okay.
So shout out to her because I actually like Scotty a lot. So it's just, you know, like a culture debate talk show for niggas.
Okay.
Women that love them, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. But on a recent episode, they were talking about Bill Cosby's sentencing, and Remy Ma decided to be the one to say that she doesn't believe all of these women, and is there any evidence? And Scotty was like, he testified that he
drugged these people,
women, to have sex with them. Yes. So I just want to very quickly say, like, Remy Ma, the inception of this show, the creation of this show happened too late for y'all to still be doing this, or for you specifically to still be doing this. But it couldn't have been 60 women. I don't believe. Who gives? Like, the nigga said he raped women. He did. He's going to prison for rape because he raped. That's the thing. Like, that's like, you can't rape people. Did you know that you can't?
Right.
So the thing is that, like, I found incredibly frustrating to me about this is that this is just so tired. It's so dumb. And what was crazy about this is that she said on the thing, she's like, she goes, one rape is too much, right?
Right.
Okay.
Got you. Yes.
Yeah. One rape is one too many. Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree. And then immediately goes like, but 60 women, it's like, no way all of them are telling the truth. What the, first of all, it is not hard for me to believe that someone like Bill Cosby could have raped 60 women. Like, it's not. Do you know that Bill Cosby is, what, 81?
Right.
Like, and has been famous and wealthy for the majority of his life. Like, how is it so shocking that
you can do that in a month, much less a lifetime,
especially in the way that he has done it.
Woo!
So, like, I don't know why it's so hard to believe
a mess
that he could have raped 60 women. But let's say some of them are lying, right? Let's go against recent hashtags just to entertain what you're saying right now.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
Let's say that 10 of them lied.
Oh, God.
Let's do the math of how many people still got raped. Let's say half of them lied.
Mm-hmm.
That's still 30 rapes.
types.
Even though statistically, it's more like maybe one of them. I think maybe one in every 100. So not even one of them.
I know. So, what I'm saying, like, I like, get that.
What?
But I'm just saying, even if I
don't know what Remy Ma was thinking.
How? It's like, I feel like somebody had to have been like, girl, you be the devil's advocate, or you be the one who says spicy shit.
No.
Because on episode one, she called Joe Budden a pussy for not responding to Eminem. She also had niggas mad at her for saying something about baby mamas who are out here looking for niggas to take care of them or support their lifestyle by getting pregnant by them or whatever.
They lifestyle.
Like, she said, like, these bitches who be hanging out in front of the club. That one I didn't, it was a way that she delivered it, but she was basically talking about, I think the subject was Chris Brown's baby mama or whatever, and like her wanting a raise in child support or something. She's like, these bitches be who be outside of concerts and outside of, you know, basketball or games and stuff like that. And, you know, she's like, if the court said that you couldn't get child support from them unless you was married, then y'all wouldn't be out there standing or whatever, because you know you ain't gonna get no money or whatever. Like, the way that she said it was like,
why would I need child support if we were married? If the court said the only way this man has to support his child is if he was married, what you mean? That don't make no fucking sense.
Girl, have your baby and be cute.
Just do that.
Have your baby and be cute. Like, you are glowing in this pregnancy. Papoose so motherfucking happy. He just said, fuck hats. I haven't seen Papoose in a hat in weeks. Maybe months.
The glee out, okay?
I am very happy for you and your impending, you know, childbirth. And I hope all of that goes beautifully.
Yeah.
Stop this. Stop this. I don't know what... What?
It's just gross.
Stop this.
It's gross.
That, no. Okay? And once again, all y'all that super, super feel sorry for Bill Cosby. I don't know why I was supposed to say Cardi B. So people who feel so bad for Cosby, reminders, he don't give a fuck about most of y'all. And he probably will be out of jail within 3 to 4 months if he makes it. And will then get somebody to write some book about how black people ain't shit and how you don't give a fuck about none of what the fuck y'all hoes was talking about in the first place. And then he'll die. And that will be it.
And yep, that'll be it. That'll be all she wrote.
So y'all can stop caping for this nigga. He really don't give a fuck about y'all like that.
Yes.
At all. It's dumb. Also, a big fuck you goes out to Kat Von D. If you don't know who she is, she's a white woman
Not
who used to be on
bitch.
LA Inc. Yep, she makes makeup. So she posted a photo on her Instagram, Kat Von D Beauty, of a new concealer. It's called Let Lock It Concealer Do All. Oh, Lock It Concealer. Okay. Let Lock It Concealer do all the hard work for you with instant one coat coverage with a tanned flexi emoji. The issue with this is that this concealer, she's taking it up. It has like a black tip and she's holding it in front of cotton field.
What?
So.
Oh my God.
Why you decided to talk about a concealer doing all the hard work for you while taking the picture in front of cotton? It's strange. It's dumb. I'd love to say, hey, you probably just weren't thinking. But I don't know Kat Von D. I don't know how Kat Von D thinks. I don't know her intentions behind anything. And I don't really care too much about her. So, girl, the next time... I do know that you tried to get up on the YouTube at one point and flame that other bigot makeup idiot. What the fuck is that boy's name?
Jeffree Star.
When y'all fell out. But you didn't mention too much of the things that he did in terms of prejudice, but more so all the things that he did that got on your nerves, the things that he did to you. Like, so I don't know you, sis. What I know is that this is fucking dumb, and you ain't dumb. Not dumb enough to not realize that this is fucking dumb.
That is terrible.
So if nobody told you, and I know that they did already, because that's how I know about this, I want to also be another person to say giant fuck you. I'm so glad that I don't wear makeup.
Oh, man.
Because if I did, there might even be a chance that I had some of yours. I might have friends that have some of your motherfucking makeup. I don't know.
Oh,
I heard her
Lord.
Makeup's popular. But bitch, you gotta be some kind of dummy for this. Last but not least,
I'm sorry. I was reading this article about her, and apparently she's against vaccinations because they're not vegan, so she's not going to vaccinate her child.
Cool.
And she had a lipstick concealer called Underage Red. They would list all of her other, like, scandals and shit.
Knew so she been nothing about these.
So that lets me know that your team should have been aware of what y'all was looking like when you was releasing new products, and y'all did this thinking you were going to be cute.
You dummy.
Yeah, fuck her.
Okay, lastly, I would just like to say, The spirit of like, okay, oh my God, I'm going to get fake deep.
Oh, yay. Oh, I love. Oh, are we doing feelings?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Hold on.
I've noticed that the spirit of giving up has been very active lately in my life and some of the people closest to me. As someone who I think, you know, the reason I can take care of myself is based on creativity and my ability to like get up and be like, I want to do this or say this or whatever, you know? So everything that I do is based around that, like having to, I mean, even if you aren't a creative, let's say you, if you work and care about your career or your family or anything that requires work and effort, there is a good chance that you're going to have moments where you're just like, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm cut out for this. I think that I just wanted to say that it's normal. It's been so frequent that this has been happening for me lately. And I know it's because I'm working on like brand new things mm-hmm. for myself, things that I am being introduced to for the first time. And there's a lot of pressure along with that as well. But I refuse to quit because I would rather go through all of these processes and fall flat on my face and figure out how to pick the pieces up, then not do it and go to whatever plan B I haven't even created yet, and then live the rest of my life wondering what that could have been.
Damn.
Would it have been? You know what I'm saying? It's very different for somebody to tell you, no, bitch, like, this isn't going to be the tea for you. So I'm just going to push you out of the room now. It's very nice to meet you.
Bye. Oh, like, friend.
That is different than you telling yourself that.
Yeah.
And shitting on your own. Because one thing I've noticed is that there are so many people who are incredibly established, wealthy, have all of the things that you think that you want, that are going through the exact same motherfucking thing. You think Beyonce, Giselle Knowles, Carter didn't have at least one or two motherfucking Please. Dates where she was like, you know what I would like to do? Be having some barbecue chips Jersey. In bed and watching Netflix with my fucking kids.
New Jersey.
Okay, Nicki Minaj just put out a clip from her motherfucking documentary talking about, I didn't want to do this shit. Like, everybody has moments, regardless yeah. of how successful they are, how successful they seem, where they're either working on something new or working on something they've been working on for their whole last life, or they're just like, I don't think that I can do this, and I'm also not where I thought I would be. Like, maybe I should just quit. I think I just wanted to say that that is something that's so normal, and it doesn't always, and it doesn't necessarily have a moment where it goes away, is what I'm learning. You just have to, I think, recognize it as something that is normal, recognize it as like something that is universal. It's not something that is just specific to you.
Mm-hmm.
Throw yourself that pity party and don't overstay your welcome. Antonio, you said that to me like years ago, I think before I moved to New York, and I'm going to say that probably for the rest of my life.
Still applies.
So you have to like give yourself the moment. If you like a glass of wine, if you like a blunt, if you like romance comedies or ice cream or Oreos, nigga.
Nachos.
The peanut butter chocolate pie Oreo. Oh, bitch.
I don't even need to buy none of those. That sounds like a fucking
graham
problem.
Cracker
oh,
cookies.
No, the devil's busy.
With a peanut butter chocolate swirl.
He's working hard.
When I tell you
bitch,
that
sounds amazing. Cookie. Oh my God.
Will deliver you?
No, it won't. That's a problem. It will not deliver me. That cookie will bring nothing but strife to my life.
Which?
No, you better not have none in your bag. I will leave if you have these fucking cookies in your purse.
I don't. I do have a red Airhead. There you go.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll eat this. Thank you.
Whatever it is that, you know, gets you through a night where you might just be in your feelings and you just want to get through your watch list.
Yeah.
do that for you in those moments and get your ass up the next motherfucking day and get back to work. It happens. Don't let those feelings, like, it's just so normal. Like, who is listening to this who has never had a moment where they're just like, I don't think I can do this, or maybe I'm not good enough for that. It doesn't even have to be work.
Yep.
It could be relationships. It could be like the gym.
Anything.
It could be any, the motherfuck black ass thing.
Yep.
But if you just recognize that as like a typical, normal part of who we are as human beings, mm-hmm. and like striving for something, and you can learn when and how to shake that shit off and get your motherfucking black ass up and get back to what the fuck it is that you were doing before, I think that it can do a lot in terms of like subduing those dark moments that you have mentally and really sort of rebuilding like confidence that you have in yourself. Because at the end of the day, if all of the shit sort of doesn't work out the way that you expected it to or wanted it to, at least you could say that you did that shit. You probably learned a lot of shit that you can apply to your next venture that you wouldn't have learned if you quit. You may have met some incredible people along the way that will be beneficial in the future, who will be there to listen to you, who will be there for you to lean on, who will give you a job or another opportunity somehow. Like, you just got to be like, bitch, look, mm-hmm. I could try this shit and possibly fail and then keep trying, or try something new, or I could die. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the worst possible thing that could happen to me is that I drop dead and that's it. And I didn't get to do shit. Like, right. I didn't get to try or not try. So if it's not like, that's if you're not wrestling alligators and sharks for a living, sis, then like, what is why not?
Yeah.
If you're not hurting yourself or hurting anyone else, keep it trucking. Maybe you got to wait a little while. Maybe your bank statements aren't lining up for you to be as extravagant or as polished as you want to be in those moments. Maybe your shit got to be a little crusty at first, bitch. But it's better for that shit to be crusty and get some lotion along the motherfucking way than to not exist the motherfuck at all.
It's true. You can't put lotion on if you don't have no skin.
And, you know, some of y'all be going out and meeting some niggas who could use a little lotion on their caps. And you take them home anyway.
Oh, no.
And you cocoa butter it up.
And you out and you
cocoa butter it up.
You sure do take them strays into your home and fix them up real nice.
That little web in between your index finger and your thumb.
Yes.
Just snowy valleys.
Woo.
Just no kind of moisture.
It ain't none.
Now, you still love them any the fuck way.
Sleep in their eyes and everything else.
You put a little lotion on that motherfucker and love on it.
I like that. You can't win without playing the game. You can't lose without playing the game either. But you have to get actually on the field and out the stands in order to even know which one you're going to be.
When I tell you it has been months of me being like, let me back up from the mic. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Someone help. Get me off of the ground. Help, like, just endless torment of like, why am I doing this? I'm so lost and confused over many things, not one particular thing either. Mm-hmm. So when I realized that I have felt that way before about things that turned out well.
Yeah.
And I realized that people who are way farther ahead of me are still experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that so many people around me are experiencing it. I'm just like, oh, this is just a human thing.
It is. It absolutely is. And a lot of us have anxiety and we fear that everything is going to be absolutely terrible. And then we actually do it. And it's like, oh, I made that a lot worse in my head than what it was in real life.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm super bad about that. But that's very real, friend. Thank you for sharing.
You know, I tried. Whatever.
Okay. Well, I just want to say very quickly a big fuck you to Donald Trump, Brett Kavanaugh, Orrin Hatch, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, all the other Senate Republicans, including Jeff Flake, Judiciary Committee specifically. Like, I know y'all trying to act like Jeff Flake is like the new John McCain, where he's a conservative who every now and then has a heart and votes for something like that is not terrible. Right. Like, remember when John McCain was like, no, I won't vote to end Obamacare, even though I'm in the twilight of my life. And certainly I'm going to keep you poor from being able to afford anything else. Like, sort of that sort of thing. Because this whole Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination, I don't know how many of you are like following the story super closely.
It is a shit show.
Like, everything about it is so much.
Every single thing.
I stayed home all day. The day of the testimony when Dr. Ford testified and then Brett Kavanaugh testified, I watched as much of it as I could. Hers I had to turn off because it was actually breaking my heart.
Yeah.
But his, you know, listening to Brett Kavanaugh and his boll weevil ass face sit there and lie on this woman and
heard anybody say
lie
that.
On his drinking history and lie on his friends and
wretched, bro.
He just looks so much like a naked mole rat. He looks exactly like that thing. But to listen to Brett Kavanaugh gave me my favorite feeling, or one of my top two favorite feelings, which is rage. It fuels me. It keeps me going. And listening to him justify his bullshit, and his voice would go up real, like, you know how when the kids be lying and they be trying to get the excuse out real quick, mama, you gotta believe what I'm saying. Like, he did a lot of that shit where his voice sound real panicked and he was sniffling but didn't know tears come out.
Yeah, that is how that works.
There was a lot of that with Brett Kavanaugh.
My favorite part was when he named all of those random women.
Oh yeah, other women who know him. It's like, just because you can list women does not mean you've never been someone.
Nigga, I could do that right now.
Right.
My whole life, my best friends were Julie.
I don't even understand.
Karen, Sarah Beth.
Emily. She and I were great friends. We knitted together.
Melissa K. Melissa T.
Child.
Shut the...
Meanwhile, this yearbook is talking about devil's triangles and all the sex shit y'all done did and all these little references to binge drinking and letters that he wrote in 83 talking about, you know, warn the neighbors that we are some prolific drunks and or we puke a lot and all this other shit. Like, fuck Brett Kavanaugh. Fuck every man like him who really does not. I feel like he truly doesn't think he did anything wrong
at all.
He feels like what he did was normal horseplay or things that boys do or things that teenage boys do. And it is not something that should keep him from being on the Supreme Court today. He 100% feels that way. Donald Trump feels the same way when he sat there and mocked that woman at one of his rallies.
I want to punch him so bad.
Last night, that was just incredibly hard to watch for him to be like, oh, she doesn't remember this and she doesn't remember this and blah, 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 blah. Like, maybe you should be the last bitch to talk because we all know how you feel about sexual assault and grabbing them by the pussy. And when you're famous, you can do whatever that you want to them and they just let you and all. We know how you feel, sir. So maybe you should be the last bitch to run your mouth.
Maybe.
The fact that I don't understand why conservatives won't just pick another conservative Republican asshole judge instead of this one who has this whole history of, like, there are four different women, I think, at this point who have accused him of different situations or being around when they were being sexually assaulted. Yeah. It's like, why don't y'all just pick somebody else who has the same asshole principles but just has not raped a bunch of people? Like, why don't Good you question. Just pick somebody else? Why are y'all so married to this one motherfucker? I don't get it. But shout out to the women who confronted Jeff Flake in the elevator before he went up to cast his vote, because he had already said that he was going to vote for Brett Kavanaugh for the Senate to vote on his nomination. But after he talked to those young women in the elevator, he decided that, you know, this was only pending an FBI investigation, and Susan Collins and them decided that they had a backbone now and they could stand up behind Jeff Flake. And so now we're in the middle of this 1 week long FBI investigation where the scope is limited anyway. Like, they can't even talk to everybody. And I don't understand why we put in a week worth of like time on it, like some sort of limit. Like, it's the fucking FBI. Why don't you just let them go out and do their damn investigation, what however long about? It takes or not? Like, why can't they just interview anybody, and why can't they follow up with as many people as possible? Like, I don't. Oh, anyway, watching the news lately, over this past week has been extremely draining. It has been very tiring. I am so fucking sick of the Republican Party. I urge all of you to register to vote and take your ass out for the midterms, because if we can flip these House and Senate seats, then it is a very different story for Donald Trump. But right now, with the Republicans having control of everything, they can basically push through whatever the fuck they want to. So please do get up and vote. Go out and pay attention to what's going on in the news. But this Brett Kavanaugh bullshit, it just, I just want to say, for every survivor, everybody who has had to deal with the reminders of the shit that happened to you because of what has been going on in the news, please understand that the rest of us do still value you. We do still believe you. Your story does still matter, even though the Republican assholes in office act like it doesn't. You are still valuable as a person. Your experience matters and you deserve to be heard. Now, I'm going to move on to my last read this week, which happened right here in New York at a Dunkin' Donuts, which, no shade, I don't know anybody with good taste who eats a Dunkin' Donuts. This shit's gross.
The truth. What you just said.
It's nasty. I would rather not have a donut than eat a Dunkin' Donuts.
I would rather not have a donut.
It's fucking gross. So, but anyway, that's not Dunkin' Donuts' fault that they donuts are nasty.
I guess not.
Oh, so on Sunday night, this video was posted to Facebook where a worker approaches a homeless man who was in Dunkin' Donuts. His head was resting on a table. He came in to charge his phone so he could call his mother. The Dunkin' Donuts employee walks up to this homeless man whose head is resting on the table and dumps this like little bucket thing of water onto his head and back.
Okay.
And they taped themselves doing it. And so he's like, I don't know how many times I have to tell you to stop sleeping in here. You know, I'm not going to call the police, but you have to leave the store. Da, 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 da. I don't know if the young man posted it to his own Facebook or to somebody. Because you can hear him. You can hear him and somebody else in the background like laughing about it, like they thought the shit was funny. I don't know if they posted it to their own Facebook, but somebody else like kept a screen grab of it. And so now, oh God. So at this point, I believe those employees at the Dunkin' Donuts have been fired. Yeah, it says here that they have been fired, and this goes against our core values and all this other stuff about that. However, the homeless man told the newspaper that he struggles with mental illness. He lives outside because he prefers it. His mother has tried to get him to stay with her in another town, but he won't do it. But he does try to keep in touch. Therefore, he was in the store restaurant charging his phone. Dunkin' Donuts. Sweetie, I'm so sorry that y'all and y'all nasty stale ass donuts had to be associated with these people's ugly ass behavior, because y'all didn't deserve that with your nasty ass overly sweetened coffee.
That's true.
You didn't deserve it. Now your shit, just because I don't like your product don't mean that I feel like your brand deserves this type of punishment.
True.
This type of tarnishment, because you got to be one depraved motherfucker to seek somebody out because they homeless, and instead of being like, let's do something kind for a fellow human being who is down on his luck or having a rough time, you decide to like take it upon yourself to make his life harder or like worse or more of a struggle. And I just don't understand how fucked up and miserable you have to be in your own life to do something like that to somebody so vulnerable. I hate seeing people go out of their way to hurt others, especially people who can't do nothing about it, like kids and the elderly or disabled or homeless. Like, why don't you just leave people the fuck alone? You could just do that. It's a fucking Dunkin' Donuts in the city. Y'all ought to be glad somebody was in Dunkin' Donuts at all.
I love facts.
You should have just been glad somebody was in that bitch. Places like Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks across New York City, all these little chain stores and stuff. People come in all day, prêt à manger. People come in and they set up shop. They stay all day. So I know y'all wasn't really mad that this man, when it's not even busy, like he's just sitting off somewhere.
And Dunkin' Donuts is
minding his own business.
Raggedy statewide, at least citywide.
I mean, I've never had a good Dunkin' Donut.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Never had a good
looks. absolutely
it's so gross.
Shitty inside.
Oh my God, I'll never forget one time I decided to get my coffee from there that morning and took like one good sip of it on my way to the train and was like, I absolutely cannot drink this.
I just never liked the product.
I cannot drink this.
Ever.
But it's just so, it's beyond disgusting for y'all to treat somebody like that. Because he's homeless, like it makes it worse that you did it because he was homeless. And I just don't understand how fucked up you have to be to do some shit like that.
You treat homeless people like they're fucking animals and it's disgusting.
Yeah, they really do. So fuck these young people. I don't think their names were released at all who worked at Dunkin' Donuts, but at least their employment has been released.
That's the fucking least they could do.
Somebody has started a crowdfunding campaign for the homeless man, which I believe has raised already a little over $13,000.
Yes.
No, it's actually at $20,000 at this point. So,
yes, the fuck.
Shout out to this this man, and hopefully he will be able to take that money and I don't know, get a start going in a new direction for his life. But
I wish I could just send him some Krispy Kremes where he could walk by that bitch.
Yes.
$20,000 life.
Just fuck y'all universally.
Mm, you know what? There's something about the texture. It's just so fluffy.
I mean, literally, any other donut spot. Any, so gross.
Listen, Publix.
God, any
crispy,
other donut. Any
I will
other.
Take Shipley's if I'm in the Texas
Shipley's
area.
Is amazing.
Those
Shipley's
are the only donuts
delicious.
I care about in my life. And I don't.
But yeah, fuck these people. Fuck anybody who decides to take advantage of or to make life harder on people who are already dealing with a bunch of bullshit. Y'all are trash. So that's it. That's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Read. Check us out on social media at This Is The Read and find tickets to our upcoming fall live tour at thereadlive.com. Kid Fury, any news for you this week?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, I'd like to say that we're excited to announce that we're going to be a part of this year's Work It Festival from WNYC Studios, which is happening in Queens. You can catch us live on Tuesday, November 13th at the Knockdown Center, and tickets are available now at WorkItEvents.com. So
we will see y'all there. Yes, November 13th.
There's Trilloween is my Halloween party.
Trilloween.
If you didn't hear, October 26th, we'll be having a Halloween party here in New York. And then October 28th, we're having one in LA. Shout out to Atlanta and DC. I saw so many comments from people saying, why are we not coming to Atlanta or DC? Y'all have gotten Trilloweens already. We got to start doing cities that haven't gotten to experience Trilloween.
Get the share.
I already know where I'm going next year and I can't wait. LA is great. We're going to have a good time. And we'll probably do 305 Live in some new places next
there
year.
There you go. There you go.
So you go to Trilloween.com. To get tickets, if you haven't already, you can go to my Instagram bio for a link if you just don't know how to spell that or if it's just so daunting. What else?
Don't forget to check out The Hate U Give, based on the New York Times bestseller by Angie Thomas. It hits theaters everywhere on October 19th. It is a story of Star Carter and when her best friend is shot at the hands of police, how she needs to find her voice and stand up for what's right, all while navigating the mostly black neighborhood where she lives and the mostly white prep school she attends. Hate U Give, open in select theaters on October 5th, everywhere on October 19th.
All right, I think that's it.
Is okay, it? Do we have an acronym this week? I feel like we're missing something, but I don't know what.
I do too.
I don't know. What is going on today? Maybe because we're actually out of here in under 2 hours. It's the first time in a while, so maybe that's it.
Oh, girl, we have to deal with all the... Oh, so you just didn't give me my additional 6 minutes?
So you just
minutes?
Decided to say fuck us?
Oh, wow.
We love you guys so much. See you next week.
Bye.